Good morning, good afternoon, guys. Welcome back to another Geek Tavern. As always, it's me, Sean, and I'm joined by Mike.
Hello.
And today, Aaron didn't want to join us, so we're going to have Cody joining us. If you follow anything else on the channel, he's done a couple of reaction videos with Mike. So, yeah. Aaron. And today, we're going to be talking about Mike's recommendation, our Halloween episode of A House of a Thousand Corpses, directed by Rob Zombie. I believe this is Rob Zombie's first film, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
I believe so.
And, yeah.
I should know that. I'm about 99% sure. Somebody will correct me somewhere.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I had never seen this. I don't know if I said that when I picked it on last episode, but what a fucking ride.
Sure is something.
It every like 5 minutes you didn't know which direction it was gonna take.
Yeah, so basically the movie follows four teenagers. I would say they're basically the main characters, other than the evil psychotic family.
Yeah. Are they did they explain it, whether or not that's supposed to be like Dr. Satan's family, or is it just like some psychos that live where Dr. Satan was allegedly hung?
This is part of a trilogy, so maybe they go into that.
Okay.
But as far as this movie goes, no, I have no idea.
Yeah. The movie was just a lot of slaughter and randomness.
Yeah. So I'm not going to be able to find these on the whim. I know that one of the kids is played by Chris Hardwick.
Chris Hardwick and Rainn Johnson.
Right.
Rainn Wilson.
Wilson, yes.
Are the two male characters, teenagers. Yeah. And they're, I'm pretty sure those are like the only two, because I didn't recognize the women at all.
Yeah, no, I don't know them.
And what's it? Bill and Jerry were their names?
Bill and Jerry.
And then Denise and the other one that I don't know the name. I don't think that.
The one was like super irrelevant. Like she hardly said anything.
Yeah. The one that was dating Jerry, they don't like.
Right.
I don't think they say her name at all.
Jerry did have quite a bit of spotlight, though. Yeah. I really did like his character for the comedic
relief. When did the movie come out?
I wanted to take a guess. 2003.
Okay. So, I mean, Chris Hardwick had been on like G4 and stuff by this time.
Okay.
But like, this is like. This is like the first movie he's been in, pretty much the only movie he's been in.
Like the first scene where he was in the car, and this is not in any way, shape, or form shaming him, but like, I was like, was Chris Hardwick like chubby?
Yeah.
Like, but it, when he stood up, he didn't look that like that chubby or anything.
I saw because the. Like the opening credits are after a little bit of the beginning of the movie, and I saw Chris Hardwick's name, and I was like, "What the fuck?
Why are you in here?"
Yeah,
I think I literally had the same reaction.
Yeah, the movie starts off with it's like an old timey couple of different things. It's like horror stories or whatever, and then it's like a commercial for Captain Spaulding's Museum of. What is it? Was it Museum of Murder and Mystery or something like that?
Yeah, something.
And then, so there's like a. So I thought that like Captain Spaulding was like the guy.
Yeah.
That is the first thing I thought.
Yeah.
Seeing his character, he reminded me of Twisted Metal.
Yeah.
So hard.
We didn't get really any answers to that, but he is very clearly, by the end, connected somehow.
Yeah, somehow. Yeah, so. It begins with Captain Spaulding's like little commercial, and then it cuts to a gas station where Captain Spaulding's is like a museum of murder and mystery and also a gas station and also a fried chicken place.
Yeah.
It's just like a bunch of fucking bullshit.
Random
and
shit.
So like some dudes come in and like try and hold up Captain Spaulding and his buddy. And
yeah, I forget who the other guy was.
Just some random dude. And then they're like, fuck you, and they end up killing both of them and surviving.
And how nonchalant they were about the entire thing was great.
Yeah, they didn't care. Well,
Spaulding's buddy was literally in taking a shit. and the two robbers come in, and then his buddy recognizes the one. He's like, I don't know his name. Billy Bob, that's you!
Yeah.
You work down at the hardware store or some shit.
While his buddy's in the background screaming to put his mask back on.
Yeah. He takes his mask off. And then...
Yeah, Captain Spaulding just didn't give a single fuck.
No. No, I literally thought he was going to... He was going to kidnap the kids and then somehow get...
Yeah, so the rest like... Yeah, after that, like, he kills them, and then it cuts to the opening credits, and then it shows the kids on their drive, and they have to stop at Captain Spaulding's place because they ran out of gas because Gary didn't fill up the gas tank like Bill asked him.
Well, they say he put, like, $2
$3
Yeah.
Yeah. And
I mean, I'm sure at the time that was more than what it sounded like. A bit. Yeah.
Yeah, and so... They stop at Captain Spaulding's, and I thought that, like you said, he was going to kidnap them or something. Every time that, like, they were talking to him, I'm like, when is he going to, like, reveal that he's the bad guy?
I thought it was really clever, and it's probably a very normal thing, movie-wise, to do. But I can't remember if it was Jerry or Bill. Probably Jerry, because he's the more high-strung one. Jerry comes out, and he's like, you're not going to believe what's in there. So I thought that, like, there's blood and like dead bodies and shit. Like, because I thought it was that, you know, going to be that kind of movie where they find the corpse.
They're going to see the two corpses of what they just shot.
Yeah. So I just thought it was clever that they kind of played the audience that way.
They're like looking around all of these like really shitty looking like displays of
the fish man.
Yeah.
Those were all horror characters like from, you know, history or whatever.
And Spaulding's just like casually mopping up the pools of blood of the people that he killed.
They probably thought it was for effect.
Yeah.
If they knew it was blood or thought it was
blood. He's only in a clown costume during the opening scene. And
yeah, because then... when he kills the guys, he's like, damn it, they got blood on my good clown suit.
And then
never thought that actor sounded like that. Had never heard him talk. I don't know his name.
Sid Haig is his name.
Never heard him talk. So, like, when he started talking, I'm like, oh. Because it's kind of normal.
Yeah. Just a normal sounding guy.
But it fit the character well, I think.
Yeah. Oh, no, he did a great job. I don't know what kind of thing I was expecting, but.
Yeah, he's a regular in Rob Zombie's thing. That's the thing with this movie. It's like, you know how like certain directors have their like people that they work with, like when Tarantino always works with Samuel L. Jackson or whatever. But Rob Zombie has like five people that he always just brings. It's like his wife, Sid Haig, while he was still alive,
right?
And then I forget his name, Bob Mosley or something like that.
Okay,
the dude that played Otis.
Okay.
He's in like everything that he does.
And then later on, the guy who plays Grandpa Munster.
Yeah.
I forget his name. He was in Fugitive. I don't know if you remember us talking about it. He was in a lot. He wasn't in this one. This was before he got him. But I thought the cop was him. The one with the soul patch mustache.
Yeah.
I thought it was him, but it's not him. I'm not sure who that guy is, but he looks super familiar.
So... what they're doing is they're like going across the country and like they're writing up like off the beaten path like attractions, I guess.
Like a novel about shit you find on a travel.
And so they're like, oh, Captain Spaulding's Museum of Murder and Mystery is the perfect thing to add to this, whatever.
Yeah.
So they go on the tour, which is like 5 minutes of like a haunted house thing. And that massive dude is just, like, pushing their cart.
Yeah, he's just pushing. And then...
Which he was very intent. If you watched him, he was fixated on it.
Oh, yeah. It was like, he got pleasure just in pushing.
He touched that one girl's hair.
Did he?
Yeah. I didn't get it. Yeah, he grabbed her hair and she's like, stop it, Jerry. Thinking that it was her boyfriend.
I didn't even catch that.
Yeah. He was a total was a
pretty
creep.
Good scene.
That's great.
The scene before that, though, whenever... what's his name? The clown.
Spaulding's.
Whenever he, like, started flipping out on Jerry after Jerry brought it up, like, that was genuinely a scene that I thought was going to roll into the murder.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he's like, why are you asking all these jackass
questions? Yeah, he gets, like, super worked up, and, yeah, I thought he was going to go off. for sure.
Yeah, that was a good subversion where you're like, oh, here it goes. Because he's like, oh, you think we're just a bunch of rednecks or whatever? And he's like, I'm kidding.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm just fucking with you.
Yeah, that was great.
But the final attraction, which kind of kicks everything off, is the Dr. Satan, who was like, what did they say? He believed that he could grant superpowers because he was like a surgeon. He could grant superpowers in the mentally ill by like lobotomizing them and shit like that.
Yeah.
Which I guess kind of is showcased at the very end of the movie.
Yeah.
It wasn't very much touched on, which I'm kind of sad about since it was like kind of the whole reason they're venturing out to go find.
So, well, I'm sure that the two sequels probably go into that.
Yeah. And they do keep the same characters through most of them.
Yeah. I don't know how much of a trilogy it is, but I mean the Blu-ray says the Rob Zombie trilogy, so I don't know.
Yeah. And so Jerry comes up with a great idea of go finding the tree where they hung Dr. Satan, because he's like, Captain Spaulding said it's only a stone's throw away from where you're sitting right now.
Right.
And so they go, he forces them to go, and that's where they get, like, ambushed by this fucking weird family. Like, the dude shoots his, what's his name, RJ, shoots the tire out of the car.
And, like, you said when we were watching, like, nobody heard the gunshot.
Yeah, like, pulled into the side of the road, oh. Tire's flat. Wonder how that happened. Yeah. 12 gauge goes off.
20. I mean, I guess they thought it was all one sound.
I mean, it was raining pretty hard, so it could have.
Yeah. But that was after they picked up Sherry Moon, right?
Yeah.
They had already picked her up. They were going to her house anyway, so I don't know why they had to. Well, they had to sabotage the car so they couldn't leave.
Yeah,
and then they called the brother in to tow said car.
The brother who has already shot the
tire. They fixed the tire still.
Yeah,
I just thought about that now. So
and RJ, they let them think that they're leaving.
Yeah, RJ does fix the car so they can leave, but then right as they're getting to the gate, Tiny and Otis come in and beat them up.
I'm going to write that off as they just liked the psychology of them thinking that they're going to finally get to leave.
Yeah, probably that.
With a crazy family like that, I feel like
it just seems like something they would, like,
take pleasure in.
For lack of a better term, yeah.
And then, obviously, we get the couple of interspliced scenes of Otis, like, torturing the five cheerleaders
that have been missing. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. The editing is so fucking weird in this movie.
The camera jumps and everything.
I mean, I'm watching it and I'm like, all right, I think I'm now picking up on Rob Zombie's editing.
Yeah,
like,
style.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's so fucking weird.
It is weird.
It'll like, so those scenes where like Otis is like torturing these girls, it's like fucking shaky and like, he's just like, I don't know. And then they'll just like have scenes in like negative.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, they'll be filming it, and then it'll, like, change back to, like, regular.
Yeah.
It's, like, it's just so...
I don't know. Almost, like, psychedelic trip when you're watching it.
The editing is chaotic, but I guess that is kind of probably the point, because the characters are so fucking chaotic.
I know it's not going to be everybody's cup of tea. I rather enjoy it. Like, I don't think it's bad. It's like an artistic.
It's a decent thing. Decent artistic piece, like you were just saying. But story wise, like, I don't know. I won't say it's the worst.
Mm-hmm.
I found it a little distracting.
See, the difference here is, I don't know if he knows this. Like, you went for film in college, so
yeah.
So digging deeper into it, probably.
I'm sure you're used to what would be normal, you know?
I mean, I'm fine with unconventional editing. It's just, this was very fucking strange.
So when they first get to the house, like, you just know something's off, obviously.
Well, it's like there's like a bunch of shit, like, nailed to the front door, isn't there? It's like
all baby dolls.
Yeah, it's like a bunch of dolls nailed to the fucking front door.
Even Sherry Moon, because I don't know characters' names, she even says, like, these are my baby dolls.
And then proceeded to say that he, like, Zombie, nailed them.
Yeah, Zombie's wife.
Yeah.
Yeah, her name was Little Firefly or Baby Firefly because the mother's name was Firefly. So that's, like, that's who they called her.
Is the mother, it's not the lady that plays the Stifler's mom in...
No.
Okay.
She does look a lot like
that. Yeah, I didn't think it was her because at this time is when American Pie was made anyway, so... Just looked a little older than...
Yeah.
As soon as her character came out, her mother came out, it definitely foretold how crazy the family would get into.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I mean, she's just straight up, like, hitting on Jerry, right?
Yeah, she was hitting on Jerry, and Baby Firefly was hitting on Bill the whole time. And, yeah, so that's, like, the huge point of contention after, well, they have a weird fucking dinner. Where they have to put masks on.
Yeah, yeah.
And,
wasn't the mask only for dessert, or was it? No, I mean, it was for food in general.
Yeah. And they... I kind of was distracted during the scene. So they're talking about how Tiny is, like, disfigured because their Firefly's husband tried to light the house on fire or something like that. Tried to burn the house to the ground and lit his son on fire, Tiny.
But claims so that, like, he doesn't mean no harm.
Yeah, he didn't mean it. He didn't mean anything by it. He just wanted to burn the fucking house down.
Completely normal life.
Is the dad Dr. Satan?
Maybe.
Do we?
Because there's, it's very strange because there's, like, obviously Tiny is, like, deformed, and then Otis and RJ are fine, but then, like, during scenes whenever the teens get captured, there's, like, jars full of, like, fetuses.
Yeah.
Like, on the shelves of, like, deformed fetuses. So,
well, Otis brings one, like, with him.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, Grandma, was it? Go wake Grandma.
I,
and then he,
I,
like, brings down, like, the fetus or something.
Oh, was that? I
don't know. But, yeah, it was fucking weird.
I do not know about that one, but
it's weird that Otis is, like, the ringleader of the family.
Yeah, I mean, I guess there's got to be somebody.
Yeah,
and
he's the more, I don't know, Joker style character.
Yeah, more active role.
He's the one that's, like, killing.
What's the other one? The tall, not the tiny. Not tiny, the long hair one.
RJ.
Like, you can tell he's just muscle. Like, he's not going to be the ringleader kind of
thing.
The
one with the bear pelt. He's wearing the bear pelt.
And then,
very, very badass scene.
Yeah. And then after the dinner, they have, like, this weird, like, comedy show.
Yeah. Yeah, like, I think it's, like, the dad or the uncle or something. It's just, like, screaming.
I think he's grandpa or something, isn't he?
Screaming profanities.
Yeah, like...
And then, like, the only person that's laughing is Jerry, because he's a fucking freak.
I feel like if they would have let anyone live, they would have let Jerry live, just for the fact of his curiosity.
I mean, that's true.
I thought they were going to the whole way through the movie.
I mean, he made it the most unscathed, really. I mean, he got his scalp
Firefly scalped him.
I wouldn't say he was unscathed.
Yeah, and then...
Well, for the longest time, like...
And then he was, like... He was, like, strung up, and Otis was just casually throwing knives at him.
Oh. I don't remember that part.
Which, that was a great scene,
it's
by the way.
It's when the police show up.
Oh, okay.
Because it's Otis and, I think, the grandfather, and the grandfather started screaming something about TV, and Otis grabs a knife and just says... Don't test me.
Yeah.
It was a really awesome scene showing that there is mutual, like, arguments between them. And
I remember that part. I don't remember them throwing knives at him. But anyway.
Yeah. I was just, like, throwing knives at him. Because when it first showed him, like, strung up, I thought there was a knife sticking out of his head.
And it's just kind of beside him.
Yeah, it's just, like, next to his head, and then he throws it, and it, like, hits, like, underneath his arm.
As he's sitting there half conscious, half not.
Yeah.
Yeah, so like you said, they had this weird, like, talent show thing, and then Baby Firefly comes out and is, like, basically just lip syncing.
Yeah,
his, like, Betty Boop song.
She's doing pretty good.
Yeah, and you know, gets all flirty with Bill or whatever, and
sits on his lap.
Yeah, Denise is just like, "We're fucking leaving."
Yeah,
I'm surprised it took the girls that long to snap.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. And then that's when they... RJ comes back with the car fix, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they're going to leave, and then Otis and Tiny stop them from leaving and kidnap them.
Ambush them.
Yeah.
Because they have to get out to open the gate.
Open the gate.
Which I appreciate how simple the ambush was. Oh, they literally just came up and just started bashing them.
Yeah, they were like, he was pretending to be a scarecrow. And then, or like a Halloween decoration. Because it happens on Halloween Eve.
That's, right. And apparently that's their time to kill. Not Halloween, but Halloween Eve.
Mm.
No, because the next day, it is Halloween.
Well, it's a process, but...
Yeah.
They celebrate Halloween Eve.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As a big holiday for them.
Yeah. So, and then they just start torturing them.
I mean, they don't even, like, leave Bill alive long at all.
No. He taxidermizes him into the fish
into
boy
a
or
fucking
whatever.
Merman.
He was the unlucky one that got made of an example first.
Or the lucky one.
Yeah. I don't know about that one.
Well, he got to be dead first. But he didn't have to live through it.
Yeah, I don't know exactly. So, I don't know. So then, obviously, like, Denise was on the phone with her father and was like, hey, we're going to be late or whatever. And then he is an ex-cop who was like, they haven't showed up yet, you know, look into it. So the cops go and talk to Spalding. And
yeah, I forgot about that whole
there's
subplot.
A more confrontation there. And then they find the car with one of the dead teenagers in it, the car that they were driving.
Mm.
And then they're like, okay, we're going to go investigate. And that's when the cops go to, I don't even think they give the name of the fucking place that they're staying at, but like their farm, basically. And somehow they managed to kill all of them.
Yeah, Spalding, didn't Spalding send them up
there? He gave them the directions.
Yeah.
So, yeah, because he was like, I don't know, these kids came in, they wanted to see Dr. Satan's tree, so I sent them there.
Oh, right.
And the cops were, like, weirdly aggressive towards him.
Yeah.
They're just, he will like, write down exactly what directions you gave them.
Yeah, he's like, just fucking right now. I was like, what the hell is happening?
Yeah. Oh, and then the one cop is played by
Walton Goggins.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's another pretty famous person.
Yeah.
Got their...
Probably not at this time.
No.
But...
No, certainly not. Because 2003, because the other movie we watched that he was in was right before he really got his big break.
Right.
In Justified.
And that was, what year was that?
Like 2008 or 2009 or something like that?
Yeah. Actually, no, I think that one was 2010.
Okay.
2011, yeah. Maybe. Something like that. Doesn't matter.
Either way. So yeah, this is like one of his really first acting gigs. And it's funny looking at, like, obviously not Chris Hardwick, but he has his own, like, fame based on the internet or whatever.
Yeah.
But, like Rainn Wilson, who is famous for being Dwight in The Office, and Walton Goggins, whose career has just, like, gone crazy. And then you look at all of the other, like, Rob Zombie, like
stables.
And then it's just like, well,
yeah.
I guess that... Because I'm just going to go ahead and say it. They're acting not very great.
No,
like,
no.
Like, Sherry Moon's not good at all.
It's not good, but for this character...
It gave me a more, like, psychedelic version of Harley Quinn. Like,
just yeah, she is fucking gone. Nuts.
Like, her actually trying to act, like, in The Monsters, like, that's bad. But I would say she did this pretty good, because, like, it's just... batshit crazy.
This is crazy. I think the best, I mean, obviously Sid Haig is a pretty good.
Right.
I thought he did a fine. But aside from him, like all of the other Rob Zombie staples, I think that Bill Moseley, the guy that played Otis, was the one that did the best job.
Oh, yeah.
But everybody else, they were really bad.
Yeah.
I mean, you couldn't have screwed up Tiny's position very good.
No.
Hard.
No.
He was like mute, basically.
I'm pretty sure that guy is kind of messed up.
I mean, yeah, he has a bit of a facial deformity.
Yeah.
Like, clearly it was, like, not to the degree that it was.
No, they definitely changed it, but.
Yeah. Yeah, he is a very tall person, though. He's, like, 7.5 feet tall.
Yeah.
He's, like, fucking huge.
I was kind of researching him while we were watching. I was like, good for him getting work.
Yeah, I don't know. I know that he's been in stuff that I've seen before, but I don't know, like, all of what he's been in. But, yeah. And then that's pretty much... So the cops come, they kill them all, and they skin Denise's dad, and Otis, like, comes down.
Oh, God, yeah. Face. Yep. That was... And then the part, like, he's talking, and he lifts it up.
Yeah.
And, like, there's just blood on his face, like, uh-huh. from it. I was like, oh, God.
And they dressed him up as rabbits for some reason.
And made him run, like, scared little rabbits.
Yeah.
Well, run, the one rabbit, girl run. Ran away, and then Baby Firefly goes and murders her. And then it's so strange, because it's, like, at this, like, cemetery plot, kind of. And they put them in a coffin and lower them down and, like, play music or something. And then these, like, zombies... These zombies, like, come out of the tar water and, like, start ripping the casket open to, like, kill him. I'm like, what the... What is...
Where?
It's such a sophisticated, like, underground thing.
Yeah.
Because it's, like, tunnels and shit.
Yeah.
And then, like, this is why it's called a House of a Thousand Corpses, because, like, as Denise is running through this labyrinth, there's, like, it's lined with, like, skeletons.
Mm-hmm.
And then she runs into, like, where Dr. Satan, like, actually is working and shit. Because he's, like, performing on Jerry.
That part I was kind of let down on. I'm like, I don't know what I thought. Like, I was almost thinking, like, a house where they have, like, bodies on display or something.
Yeah, I thought that, like, it was kind of going to be, like, Captain Spaulding's, like, thing was going to be the House of a Thousand Corpses.
But... And I thought when they were doing that tour, I forgot to say this earlier, when they were doing that tour thing, I thought that those were going to be actual bodies.
Mm.
Like, we were going to find out that they were...
I was hoping that one of the bodies would have been, like, one of the fresh people that he just killed.
Right, yeah.
Like, with the sack over their head or something.
Yeah. I thought that's where we were going with it, but I was kind of let down that it was just, like, because of a hallway and a bunch of skeletons.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. It's so... And then I was not paying attention to this part of the movie. I'm just going to say that. But it was whenever Denise was like, so she, Jerry and her, like, he's like screaming for help and he's like, they're eating me. And then she thinks that he sees him, but it's like some dude just wearing the bunny thing.
Mm.
And like that person didn't attack her, right? They like took her clothes and shit.
Yeah.
I don't remember. Like I said, I wasn't paying attention, so I don't know exactly.
I mean, it happens rather quickly. Like, yeah.
They just took her, like, bunny suit and then just left her alone. Like, I just don't understand the point of it.
Yeah, I didn't.
Yeah. Unless it's, like, other survivors that are just, like, living in the game.
I don't know.
But that doesn't really make sense either.
Yeah.
No.
I don't know.
But, like I was saying, with the Dr. Satan creating, like, superheroes or whatever, we kind of see that whenever Denise goes in there and sees that, like, he's, like, lobotomizing Jerry or whatever, and there's just, like, a bunch of other random people there, like, with weird food masks on.
Yeah.
It's a lot of weird imagery in this. And then, like, some, like, he, like, comes out and he's wielding this huge axe, and he has, like, glasses on, like, binoculars.
Yeah.
And he's like, it's clearly like a creation.
And it's some kind of, he takes like this little breathing apparatus thing off.
Yeah.
And that, like, was, but that he takes it off to like let out liquid from what I assume is his mouth.
The shots that I think are funny from this is it like zooms in on Denise's face and like two orbs on her face. And it's just like, what the fuck is happening? And it's like, so is he like a machine?
Yeah, he's like mechanical or something. Because there's definitely
what's inside your suit, bud?
Yeah.
It's very weird.
So I do not know what that creation was.
Yeah. He chases her down and then she like escapes because he like smashes a support pillar or something.
Yeah.
And as she is escaping on the road, conveniently, Captain Spaulding is just driving on the road and is like, oh, picks her up and starts driving her where he says is to the hospital. But then Otis just sits up in the backseat of the car.
He's just there.
Which, yeah, I don't know. Like I've never watched the other one, so I don't even know if it's a trilogy or not, or if it's just like that's how the movie ends. But I'm like, this doesn't make any sense. Because it's implying that Captain Spaulding's in on it, but it was like building up the rest of the movie that he wasn't in on it.
Yeah.
So I don't know, like, what's the deal with that?
Like, his whole reason of running that shop is to secretly send people for them to, like, murder or something.
Yeah, like, maybe he's a part of the family, too, or whatever, but I don't know. I thought that he was the best character, and he's, like, hardly in the movie.
Yep, I will 100% agree. He was my main attraction to whenever I started the movie.
What do we got?
Yeah, so, I mean, the... It's the same characters, Baby, Otis, and Captain Spaulding. Like,
So I guess it is.
So something happens to where we find out his connection at some point.
I hope.
Well, I don't know if I'll be watching those ones.
I supposedly, the next one, which is The Devil's Rejects, like, that's the one that everybody's like, that's his movie. Like,
it's one of his, I think... highest rated
He was looking up ratings, but it's his highest one.
I thought that this one was...
Which was still only at, like, a 67%.
Right, yeah.
I thought this one was rated, you know, pretty high for, like, the averages of his movies. I think people like this one a lot. I think it's a little long for me, because, like...
It was only an hour and a half.
Yeah, but it's, like, still, like...
compared to some stuff we watched before.
Like, you gotta, like, you gotta move on, you know what I mean?
I get it, I get it.
Like, I can only watch the teenagers be tortured so many times before I'm like, I just kill them, or... Like,
yeah, honestly, if it was more almost random killings, like, more...
Yeah.
Like,
showing off different ways kind of thing.
It's, yeah, so, like Saw or something, you know?
Yeah. I mean, that's basically what they went for, was kind of like a gore film kind of thing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so maybe less emphasis on the teenagers. Yeah, like, you could tell their story, but have another group of other people.
Or at least, like, it's hard to, like, trace the thread. Because it's, like, at the beginning of the movie, it's, like, these teenagers doing this thing. They get captured. And then at the end of the movie, it's, like, this, like, very sophisticated, like, fucking, like, clearly operation of, like, them kidnapping and torturing people. Which, that wasn't clear or established. And there's, like, this huge fucking maze underneath their farm. Just like, what the fuck is happening? And they're
related. Maybe the first half should have been, like, a story setting up the family.
Yeah.
That, and I really want to know where they go with after the fact that they off two police officers. Like...
Yeah, like, they're gonna know that, like, the police are going to, like...
And how many graves they had. Like, how long have they been doing this and getting away? I just wish there was a little bit more explanation to it.
Yeah.
Like, you
and then... there could be. I don't know what the next two.
Yeah, they pretty brazenly just killed those cops too.
Yeah, like shot one down in the back, and then we had the super long.
Oh yeah, that was odd too.
Super long scene.
It was like an entire minute.
Yeah,
of just holding a gun to a guy's head.
Yeah, it was like panning out.
I literally touched the remote and like, did it freeze?
Like... Yeah,
and then because I'm pretty sure that it was just, like, shot regularly, and then they're like, we need a little bit more extra time. Just, like, slow this part of the movie.
Yeah.
And then, because, like, whenever she fires the gun, it's in slow motion. He, like, falls and dies. But, yeah, that was fucking...
I definitely didn't get that one. I'm like, what was that? Yeah,
that could have cut a minute off the movie right there.
Yeah. Just
played at a normal speed.
Yeah.
Yep.
I mean, we all knew what was going to happen, yeah.
And then it's also kind of like, we don't know the motivations of the serial killers. They're just kind of doing it because. But then it's also, like, touched on a little bit that it could be, like, a satanic ritual thing.
Yeah.
Because Otis is dressed in the, like, he has face paint and, like, the...
Yeah, he comes out with the black metal
on his head.
As well as them burning the bodies towards the end of the movie as well.
Yeah, like, so. It's a huge bonfire that, like, splits off into, like, a pentagram
thing. Right, yeah.
So, like, they hardly explain anything.
Yeah, I mean, they're clearly...
With the next title being The Devil's Rejects, I feel like there might be some more explanation.
It could be.
Might hurt me to say it, but I kind of want to watch it.
No, I totally plan on watching them. I figured when I was thinking about suggesting this movie, I was like, I can't put you guys through a Rob Zombie trilogy. Like,
that is kind of rough. But
Maybe you should stick to music, Rob. I was really enjoying the beginning of the movie, and then like halfway through, I was like, "This is something's got to give." You know what I mean? Like, you got to cut some fat off of this.
Yeah, I get it. Get it.
But definitely after watching it, I definitely feel like Rob Zombie himself, if he put the initiative in, could have made a very good Twisted Metal movie.
The whole time we were just sitting there. I don't know if you've ever played Twisted Metal.
Yeah.
Like, it would have been amazing. I mean, could still be amazing. It could still happen.
I think they're making
a live action show.
Yeah.
Fingers crossed.
That probably.
I mean, it's happening.
Directors,
huh?
I mean, TV shows have multiple directors.
Oh yeah, he could do an episode.
Maybe he could do an episode. I don't know.
I mean, if I'm thinking it, I mean, how many other people probably thought of it? He was already tied in. Like, he did the soundtrack for 3 and 4.
Hmm.
So like, he has a history with it. So I think it makes sense, but.
I don't think that established Hollywood is that big of a fan of Rob Zombie.
No,
especially with the lukewarm reception a lot of his movies have gotten.
Yeah. Well, the monsters might have killed it completely.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, the thing is, it's mostly the writing, right?
Like that's what everybody was saying about the monsters.
Like, if the writing was good, like, I have a modicum of faith in Rob Zombie to be able to film and direct something,
right?
You know, with the appropriate material. But like he said, I'm pretty sure he wrote the script, so everybody's like, "This is dog shit."
Yeah, no, it pretty much every criticism of him is he should not write the movie.
Yeah, because like
people don't have a problem with his directing,
assuming that he wrote and directed.
He did.
I think he did. He did. Yeah. So like.
Of his movies he's written and directed.
There was some good stuff in here that they could have, like... So, I think that... I don't want to, like, compare it to his Halloween movie or whatever, but, like... At least with the Halloween, it's, like, established material.
Right.
And, like, sure, he changes some shit up of whatever. But, like, I feel like his direction is just, like... It's easier off of things that have, like... He's not...
Creating himself.
Writing.
Yeah.
So...
I get it.
I don't know if I would call this better or worse than that movie. I wasn't super into that movie either.
Yeah, yeah. Especially the second one.
Well, I don't think I'll ever watch that, so.
Yeah. I haven't watched it myself. Don't think I will.
It's something.
People are... I've seen a clip. People are mad because he makes Michael Myers talk in that movie. Is that what it is? He, like, says something?
At the end, he kills... Spoilers. At the end of the second one, he kills Dr. Loomis.
I thought he killed Dr. Loomis in the first one.
No, he's alive.
He just survives being whatever it was.
Oh, yeah, because he, like, crushed his head or something, right? Yeah, he's alive. he writes a second book. He's a dick in the second movie. But, yeah, so Michael, like, takes his mask off and... It's just, I forget the guy's name. He plays Sabretooth in the X-Men movie, like the old original X-Men movie.
Michael McDowell.
Yeah. So he takes his mask off and he's got a big beard in this one. And he just says, "Die." He stabs him.
All right.
Yeah. We got this.
Also, like 15 minutes after, like, the stupidest shit you've ever seen. So you're already pissed off.
We gotta watch now.
We got to see Michael Myers' face in the new Halloween movie. Like
we did. It was very odd.
Yeah.
I didn't like it. The movie was okay. I just didn't like seeing his face. Yeah.
That's a discussion for another time, maybe.
Yeah, so we're getting off topic. Rob Zombie's House of a Thousand Corpses. It's
an odd title. Considering that you don't really see until the very end.
Yeah, I always say House of a Thousand Corpses, but there is no A.
It's House of 1,000 Corpses.
Yes.
I was going to say, so whenever I was like, it was like the middle of the movie, especially whenever Otis like rips the screen back and it shows Bill as like the fish guy.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, so this is like the real like Captain Spaulding's House of Murder and Mystery.
Right,
like,
yeah.
Like, I feel like that's kind of what, like, they were kind of, like, paralleling, because Captain Spaulding's place is, like, full of, like, obviously not, you know, it looks shitty. It looks, like,
It's your normal, like, gas station.
Yeah, it's your normal off-the-beaten-path, like, across-country, like, little attraction place. Then that one was going to be... But the thing is, they only did it with one. Like, there was only one creation.
Yeah.
So I was like... It's like, this is going to be the real one, but it only actually...
Honestly, it should have been a movie of, like... Almost like a video game where there's different bosses of, like, creations that Dr. Satan has...
It would have been cool if he did something unique with each and every one of the teens that...
Yeah, like, they have to almost defeat, like, each one. I don't know. Hire me, Rob Zombie.
Did he score the movie, too?
I'm sure. I don't know.
He was just, like, fully involved. I honestly can't remember any bit of music. Like, any piece of music in the whole thing, so...
There wasn't anything that just kind of, like, stood out.
Yeah, I know...
Your basic kind of Rob Zombie metal.
Yeah, there was something. Oh, no. There was something. There's a scene with Baby, and she literally says they're at the Pussy Liquor.
Oh, yeah.
And there's a Rob Zombie song of the same name, and she literally, her dialogue is what is in the song.
Totally forgot about that.
That scene is also useless. Why?
Like, yeah, that doesn't... I think it was just to tie the song in.
Yeah, it was just supposed to be like a
joke. I don't know if the song existed before or after the movie. Either way, it's still Sherry Moon on the song.
Yeah.
He uses her on songs all the time for, like, female characters in the background. But, yeah, that was very odd, because, like I said, the dialogue
That was completely unrelated to the rest of the movie.
Like, I felt like they tried to relate it in, like, the sense that, oh, they got done killing these people, they have extra money, they're going to go out, drink, have a good time afterwards, but, like, there was just no correlation.
What did they buy there? Just alcohol?
A ton of booze. 100,
like, 100-and-some dollars worth of booze.
180-some dollars worth of alcohol.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, and it was a poor attempt at comedy because the one dude's name was G. Ober, but they put another O in there, so his name Goober on his name tag.
Goober.
Yeah, it was so
He was stupid. A goober. He was a goofy goober.
He got tipped, though, for it, so.
Yeah.
Go buy yourself a new name tag, Goober.
I mean, she's just walking around in thong and ashless chaps or some shit.
Rob Zombie really likes to show his wife off in his movie.
He likes to show a lot of women off throughout all of his movies.
Yeah.
Specifically his wife.
I mean, she is, like, nude in one of the shots in this movie. It's in one of those weird editing ones where it's, like...
it's kind of unclear.
It's supposed to be... I don't know if it's, like, supposed to be, like, a clip show where you're, like, you know, like, the next slide or whatever. But, she's naked in one of those.
Yeah. Well, at least we got one good thing of the movie.
One.
I don't have much else to say.
But yeah, I got nothing else.
It is certainly a Rob Zombie.
Was it worth the hour and a half?
I think so. I like Rob Zombie.
I think that there was a kernel of something really good in there, and then it
fizzed out.
Maybe if I watched the other two movies, then I would appreciate this one more. But
like I said, I'm not gonna try to persuade you, but people do say that the second one's good, like really good.
Well,
as far as Rob Zombie could be good.
I guess it's rating time.
It is.
Cody, since you're our guest, do you want to go first?
On a scale to 1 to 10?
Yes.
Yeah, that's usually what we do.
Yeah.
You can have your own rating system if you want.
I'd give it a solid 5 out of 10 just because it's average. I'd watch it again if it was with a group of people to like just see their kind of reaction to it.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't watch it again by myself.
Yeah, most definitely, I agree with that.
Yeah, I'll give it like a 4.5 out of 10 because I just on the virtue of it is Rob Zombie's first movie. He did pretty well for his first movie. Like, it's hard to make movies. I'm not trying to disparage him for that at all. But just like some of the choices, specifically in the editing bay, did not fly with me. And story elements don't really make any sense.
Yeah.
And they don't use the best character in most of the movie.
That's true.
I'll agree with that.
I wonder if he's more prominent in the second two. I'm going to echo 5. I think it's an all right average movie. Yeah, worth a watch at least once, I think.
Yeah. I don't know if I'll ever watch it again.
No, I don't
if
know
somebody if somebody else wants to watch it again, maybe. But
maybe at a party, somebody throws it on. I don't know why.
Maybe they just really like Rob Zombie movies. Hey, this is somebody's favorite movie.
I'm sure it is. And more power to you.
Probably quite a few people's favorite movie.
Yeah, you're actually probably right.
As of what I hear,
actually,
Double Rejects is a lot more people's favorite.
Yeah,
so.
So, with Aaron not being here, I don't know how we announce this, or is he going to send a video, or did he just
say I don't think so.
No, he's not going
to
send a video.
He just sent us what his recommendation is going to be. I would prefer him to send a video, but yes. If not, I'll just say it here.
We're leaving that in.
Yeah.
Calling you out.
He is recommending Georgetown, which I've never heard of
before. I have no idea what the hell this is.
It is a 2019 movie starring Christoph Waltz, is his recommendation. So I looked up what it is about, and it looks like it's like a political type movie. So if you don't want to be spoiled for Georgetown before next episode, make sure to watch it. Yeah. Plus we'll be having a spoiler discussion about it. Just like our spoiler discussion on House of a Thousand Corpses. I hope you guys enjoyed the episode. Thank you, Cody, for joining us because Aaron didn't want to record with us this week.
Thank you for having me.
If this happens again, you're...
Because he's not doing anything important.
Nothing at all.
I'm not going to give him any credit. make sure to like, comment, subscribe, and all that fun stuff, guys. And happy Halloween.